Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're here.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. Kel Dansby here with the old man Andreas Hale. Back-to-back MMA and boxing shows. Pro wrestling. It's been a while, man. It's been a while since we talked pro wrestling. That'll have to wait until later on in the week because we had Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier 3 happening this weekend. So much to talk about that fight, about that card. Tons going on in the UFC. The aftermath after the fight is never a dull moment when Conor headlines in Vegas. Also, we got to talk boxing. Jojo Diaz, big win this past weekend. Make sure you guys didn't sleep on that one. It happened on Friday. And then we got a preview. Charlo going for undisputed status coming up this week. It's not easy, man. It's like Thanos trying to get all of the Infinity Gauntlet filled up. So it happens every now and then in a blue moon. I know it feels like it happens all the time now, but we have to talk about the importance of that. But first, it was a fight week. It was Conor McGregor week. Dre, how was the urban loitering?
The who?
No urban loitering? No. Not even a smidge?
There was nothing urban about it. You know this. Nah, and what did you call it?
It is.
What'd you call it?
I believe my exact term was Caucasian. It wasn't conferencing. What was the last word?
No, man. Do I have to say it?
Yes, please.
It was a Caucasian congregation.
Caucasian congregation. That's exactly what I said. I'm on a roll 2 weeks in a row. My wife last week texted me about caucus delicacies. And she was like, what? I was like, yo, I don't know what to call it. And she was like, you think you're going to have people thinking I'm just like crazy white out here? I was like, nah, they know that you're half Mexican. But all the good stories come from the white side. So 2 weeks in a row, caucus delicacies now. The Caucasian congregation. So, man, it was weird, right? Like, we're so used to Mayweather weekends and big party weekends, and it wasn't a ton of, like, Irish friends from Ireland because, I guess, you know, travel restrictions still with the COVID shit is kicking back up. So it was a whole different vibe, a whole different crowd.
Yeah. It was very white. I'll say that. Very white and very different. It was not urban loitering. None whatsoever.
USA.
Fight being at T-Mobile.
USA. USA.
No, we'll get to that in a minute. Listen, man. I still have MAGA people in my mentions right now. I still have, like, as we speak, it's been 24 hours since Trump showed up at UFC 264. And I still have MAGA people in my mentions, like, telling me to burn in hell, telling me that I'm, you know, a snowflake, all kinds of shit. They just want to get over it. But it was that kind of crowd, man. It was that kind of crowd from the beginning. It's a Conor fight. And I looked at the card and I was like, well, shit, there ain't even no black people on the main card. So,
well, that's not true. One black man got knocked out. On the main card? We will talk about that.
Trevin Giles. Okay, yeah. Yeah, Trevin Giles did get knocked out.
Not even Trevin Giles.
When was he on the card?
What? There was a prominent black man that caught those hands on the main card.
Listen.
Greg Hardy.
You're not talking about... No, he's the pretty Republican, man. We don't count him as African-American. No, he's not black.
Give me that card back. We're trading you, man, for Ty Tuivasa and his shoeies. You've been traded by the black delegation.
Listen. Listen, we'll get to that. But this man at Media Day, you know, somebody asked him, you know, if you're a villain, why don't you just kind of take up the villain role, right? And he's like, I'm not a villain. I'm pretty. I'm a great American. I'm a Republican. And I've never been convicted for anything they said I did. And I was like, you're a pretty Republican. Get the fuck out of here.
If they don't convict, you must acquit. I don't know. This motherfucker is just talking in circles. But again, we'll talk about the fight itself. It was a crazy weekend. We missed each other several times because I was too busy. I didn't get to go to weigh-ins. You had a full day of weigh-ins, chilled, chopping it up with everyone. And then I went out the next day or maybe later that night. So you had a full day during media day and interviews. And then I had the full day during weigh-ins day. That was the day I was out and about and out until God knows what time in the morning. Thankfully, my wife is great. She didn't kill me. She understands. Thank you if you're listening. But that was my day. And then fight day, roles reversed again, and you were out and about. But I wasn't going over there. It was crazy, like you mentioned. And it was a Garth Brooks concert at Allegiant Stadium. So you thought it was crazy in there. That was what? 13, 14,000 fans in there chanting USA. There was 80,000 of those same motherfuckers right down the block. So I couldn't park. I couldn't do anything. I was like, nah, I'm not fucking with this, man. Like you literally had to be in wherever you were going to be at 2 p.m. If not, it was a shit show down there. So I covered it from home, chilling at the crib. Watched everything. So I wasn't down there on Saturday night, but we had two different experiences on the weekend. When I was out on Friday, so I show up, shout out to everybody at ESPN, production, executives, all this stuff. I go out to eat with my social crew, Korean barbecue spot. Guys, ever come to Vegas, go to Gangnam Korean barbecue, right across from where the Hard Rock used to be. Now it's the Virgin Hotel. Amazing. You got it here from me, by the way. It's a pro tip for Vegas. So took the social team there. Everyone had a blast. We got full, chilled. Then all the ESPN people were hanging out at this karaoke spot. I could tell no one was really from Vegas because the karaoke spot is across from the Boulevard Mall. With that being said, when you guys hear Dre tell his stories on this show, and he leads off with, I grew up on Crack Alley. Mm-hmm. Crack Alley's two blocks up from that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Cambridge is a stone's throw from this bar. So I show up.
Oh, Dope Boy Central.
Yo, I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, who chose this place? They must have just went to Google. I go inside. They have a proud sign saying, we've been on Bar Rescue twice. Like, how fucked up is your bar if you've been on Bar Rescue two times? But anyway, so everyone's in there kicking it. So ESPN executives, like I said, several writers, people from other joints, shout out to everyone for the Mac Life, MMA Fighting. There's everybody in there. Tons of different people. My whole social team, we come through. And it's weird because the place is small, but I walk in, everyone's dapping everybody up. Hey, what's up? So I walk up, I guess you might've been talking like Jose, like the day before or something.
Oh, that's my man. Yeah. Jose Young's from MMA Fighting.
Yeah. So Jose's in there. Cal, what up? Hey, Jose, where's Andreas? And I'm like, what? What is this shit? Then it's a chorus of people after they hear that. Yeah, where's Andreas at? Like, what? Does Andreas work at ESPN? Like, what am I, chopped liver? So everyone wanted to know where the old man was at. I had to text you. Like, ain't this some shit? I show up somewhere And they're like, yo, where's Andreas at? And I'm like, I don't know. He's an old man.
The best part about it is, but nobody told, like, none of y'all told me about this. You know what I was doing when you was texting me? I was literally reading my daughter a bedtime story. And you're like, you coming out? No, I'm not coming out. Like, y'all, nobody told me about this. And I gave everybody shit. I gave her shit on fight night. I was like, I saw Jose, Mark, all the cats. I'm like, y'all went out without? It was like, I was like, no, me and Kelly are not the same person. Like, we live different. We live different lives. We do our own thing. Like, nobody invited me. So Coppinger, yeah.
So everyone was out.
Sorry, Kelly. I mean, I don't know if you're chopped liver.
Yeah, it's all right. Listen, there's worse people I can be compared to and partnered with on a podcast. That's my third jab in 3 weeks, by the way, for those in the know. Shout out to the Rat Pack. But anyway, outside of that, I'm in the bar, and the first song is a country song. Someone's karaoke. Cool, whatever. Then they do the song from Greece. Two other people get up. Song from Greece. I'm not a Greece fan. I'm more of like a crybaby satire version of fan. But my wife loves Greece, so I know the song. It's like, ooh, 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 yeah, like that shit. Whatever I want. Like, so I'm like, all right, cool. People getting the John Travolta on. Now, mind you, this bar is split right down the middle. On the whole left side of the venue, there's 50, 60 old white people that love karaoke, having a blast. Whole left side. The whole right side by the bar is nothing but 30 to like 45 year old black people. 20, 25 deep. And they know these songs. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, these might be cool. It's what you expect kind of around Boulevard Mall. Cool, dope. So they're bobbing to the song. I'm like, all right, cool. They're having a blast. One of them puts on a song. They all go up, 10 people to this tiny karaoke stage, all go up. It is Lil Boosie, Wipe Me Down. When I say this shit turned into Club 702 or ICE, this shit was crazy. They knew it word for word. They're passing the mic, people doing ad libs. Cause I'm home, wipe me down. Yo, this shit was nuts. And then one of the ESPN executives, I will omit the name, wilding out, knows the whole song, starts twerking on one of the black women. Yo, this shit is hilarious. We got videos that'll never see the light of day. But I was like, ain't this something? And this whole time I'm like, Trey wanted urban loitering, and I found it literally 5 minutes away from his childhood home. Who knew?
Who knew?
That's your peoples, yo. That's Valley High School. Three of them probably knew you.
That's the they probably still live there. shout out to if you still live in those apartments. That's really unfortunate. You have to get out of there.
Yo, those shits are packed though. Like, unfortunately, like staying at the Virgin Hotel. They've not gentrified that area at all, but there's no supermarkets anywhere. So if Target closes,
no, there's not.
Like if the Target on Maryland Parkway down a ways closes, you're forced to either go dump far kind of towards the airport, or you got to go to the Vons in Crack Alley, which is the only supermarket for like 10 minutes any direction. So I found myself there a couple weeks ago. It's quite an interesting place. I was like, look at this, Andres. Yeah, one day you have a million ventures, but one day we got to get a camera crew to follow you and you just go back to like your actual crib there and do like a walkthrough and then walk around the neighborhood.
I don't know if it's still there, but I have to see. I wouldn't be surprised if it's still there. I mean, they it's the hood, man. So, you know, they tear shit down, build it back up. I don't know. I don't know if people would be entertained by that shit.
Oh, maybe they would.
I mean, every time I say that, somebody comes in my, you know, will message me and be like, yeah, we want to hear these stories. I'm like, yeah. All right.
We'll save maybe one day show,
y'all
man.
Get to see.
We'll save it. Love and Journalism Las Vegas. I got you. Love and Hip Hop Spinoff. Love and Journalism Las Vegas. Me, you, Big Mac, Shake. Throw Brett Okamoto in there. We got enough people. Kevin Ioli,
we got out here.
We got mad people here in town. mad people. I feel like the show would be very entertaining. That show
is. Yeah, man, we can go out. We could all go out, get some ribs.
It'd be fun. That's it. It'd be a gut-busting show. Hilarity would ensue. So, I mean, listen, it's we'll make that pitch. After you're done with Our Heroes Rock, you'll go from wholesome to a little less than. But you can be an executive producer on both. So, Mona Scott Young, holla at us. We'll make that happen. But this, the dichotomy of what I saw in the bar was bananas. So I was like, yo, yeah, Dre's missing out on this one. I was like, it's wild. Shout out to the open bar. We had a good time chilling there. And it's kind of like that escape. But these are the things that people listening to our show kind of know about. But when fight weeks happen, these are the side things that people don't see. These are what make fight weeks enjoyable. Colleagues coming into town, these little side extravaganzas. I always was tight. I never got to go to Miami when you did all the stuff with the zone because you had like a million of these.
Yeah, Super Bowl week.
Super Bowl week, the Super Bowl week fights. And then like you had your little party and you chilling, posted up. Real Rico Suave type shit. You got like boat shoes on. I was like,
no, I never had boat shoes on.
They're not boat shoes.
I had Hawaiian
loafers. No,
I never had none of that shit. What are you talking
about? I don't
know.
It looks. I can only see the top. No, listen, you be rocking like fancy shirts with two buttons open. The beard is flexing, little grays in the beard. I'm not positive, but you may have worn white pants once.
Yeah, I have worn pants before.
Yeah, so like with that, I'm just assuming you got loafers on. But no, I guess you're wearing the sneakers that you have a million of that you collect during quarantine.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, that's what me and Big Mac were talking about. We had our J's on that we bought during COVID. And I realized I have a walk-in closet and I had to get another closet for all my sneakers. And I still don't have enough room. I have a box in the garage.
Another closet. Sneakers. Ooh, stun on them.
Yeah,
because I have a, flex. I had to get another closet.
I have another. Yeah, it's like I have another closet. I have a closet in my office, and it was supposed to be for some other shit, you know. And I looked, and my wife was like, "Look, you gotta get all these sneakers out of here. I can't get in the closet." So I was like, "Oh, all right." So consider this: I haven't been to a fight since March of last year, which means I really haven't been anywhere since March of last year. Yet I found the time to buy at least 20, 30 pair of sneakers in my downtime. So when fight week rolled around, I was like, I gotta wear this shit. So it took me like an hour to find some sneakers I wanted to wear. And, you know, and I saw Big Mac and he had some J's on and we took a picture of J's. And yeah, so it was like I had to find places to wear all this shit because now I got all this stuff and nowhere to go. But now I have places to go. So I'm wearing all this shit. All these sneakers that I bought, it's time to wear them.
So it's where just, are all your collectibles
I don't think anybody.
Because you bought a million collectibles too. That you just said the sneakers have now taken the place of the office.
No, the sneakers are in my closet, but I have, you know, I bought like a nice office desk with a bookshelf and some shelving and I got all my pictures and shit up. I'm still putting like the house is still coming together, but it's like I have all my Funkos and I have all my fucking books and I'm looking around my thing right now, bobbleheads and all kinds of crazy shit. My Mad Villain stuff. Like, I got all my stuff from old hip-hop sites all over the house. The only thing I've been able to put up is I have, like, maybe 100 boxing gloves that are autographed from giveaways and stuff that we did from HBO Showtime. Yeah, I've got tons. I got Floyd Mayweather gloves, Canelo gloves, Pacquiao. Oh, the funny thing is, and this is what people would be like, well, nobody's, because they're in boxes. I've had nowhere to put them. And I've got Pacquiao, Mayweather, Gennady, Cotto, Mark, anybody that fought over the past decade, I have autographed boxing gloves. Danny Garcia, Sean Porter, Keith Thurman, Errol Spence, all these gloves. Now, here's the funny thing. When they send them to me, they usually put a sticky note on it to tell me who it is because you don't know anybody's autograph. I lost all those sticky notes. So I have a bunch of boxing gloves, and I was like, I don't know who the fuck these people are. So they're in a box right now until I can match these autographs together. So I got like 6 boxes of just boxing gloves, autographed boxing gloves, and I don't know where to put them. I have no idea where to put them.
I have my one box.
What are you going to do with these?
And I thought that was
dumb. Some of these because
I'll take them.
I have a ton. What do you know what I got this week?
Yeah, of course. Sure. Why not? Like, I got one and Elena's framed it in like this glass box because I was like, I got a glove. It's a Wilder Fury 2 glove. So like, I have a glove. Yeah. It's like, so I thought it was like big shit. I was like, oh, I got all these credentials and a glove. Now you got six boxes of gloves.
Yeah, just boxing gloves. I got Mayweather Hatton glove, Mayweather Berta glove, tons of them. You know what else I got? They sent me a bottle of McGregor's team sent me a bottle of Proper 12 this week, and I got that in the mail. Canelo's team sent me a bunch of stuff, and I know people would be like, does that compromise how you feel? I don't care. Like, if you send me, like, it's not like I'm taking money. They sent me stuff. And the Canelo stuff came from Hennessy, so that's Hennessy. It's not Canelo. And the Proper 12 stuff came from Proper 12. Even though it was McGregor's team, they were just like, hey, you want to send you a bottle of Proper 12? I was like, all right. It's not the – I mean, it's a, fine.
Listen,
I'm
not
going to cheer for him.
No, last, like, you know, last McGregor fight, what they gave us – they gave me a bottle, and I was walking around with that shit.
Yeah.
Like, we went to eat pizza, and we drank the entire bottle of Proper 12 at the pizza spot. Chilling,
yeah,
because they were just giving us gigantic bottles of Proper 12. So yeah, listen,
that's
not above that. I'm here for anything free, by the way. Like, my opinion cannot be bought.
Yes,
like, you're still gonna catch these hot takes, but if you want to just send me shit anyway, like, cool. By the way, this, we're taking all sponsors for this show as well, so whatever you guys want to do, we're open for business. So it was a great weekend, though. We had a blast. It was dope. But it was all about the fight. So let's hit our break, come back. We'll talk about the card to start off, and then everything Conor McGregor after that. Don't go anywhere. We're talking about UFC 264 after this.
Hey everyone, it's Lindsay Rhodes, and I've got a new podcast, The NFL Roadshow. Fun and kind of nerdy conversation about the NFL every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I've got some amazing guests that are joining me. I'll be breaking the huddle with the top stories, previewing games. We'll get you set for the weekend fantasy with our Fantasy Friday episodes, and we'll answer some of your questions as well. So subscribe to The NFL Roadshow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? Time to talk UFC 264 as promised. We'll get to Conor, right? Like, we all know what's happening. We all know what happened. We'll give you our takes on it.
No. Listen, we don't have time to waste. People want to know. We can work back. We can work from the top down. Because people don't want to wait. Like, people listen to the show do not want to wait for us to talk about Conor. They want to know about Conor right now.
You want Conor right now? All right. Fuck it. Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier, main event, the trilogy fight. Conor won 7 years ago. Dustin Poirier won not even 7 months ago. He won like 4 months ago in the rematch. And then now we get to the trilogy fight. Much anticipated. Conor comes out. The atmosphere is great. People are buzzing. By the way, Conor McGregor has top three entrants ever in UFC history. Incredible. Comes out.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Poirier comes out. Everything's buzzing. Poirier's not fazed by the bullshit. He, much like Nate Diaz was against Conor, and Habib to some level, but Habib was genuinely pissed, as pissed as I've ever seen him. But Nate and Dustin really just don't care anymore. Like, Nate's never cared. Dustin reached a point where he honestly doesn't care. Like, he's not intimidated. He's not scared of the big moment, the big pay-per-view. You can't talk him out of shit. He's just like, whatever. And that helps so much against a guy like Conor McGregor. So he's loose. He's limber. He's just ready to get in there and have a fight against anyone. He's just ready to fight. So he goes in there. They don't touch gloves. Fight gets underway. Conor McGregor starts off strong. First minute is Conor McGregor, right? Leg kicks. He's throwing push kicks down the middle, which I love. He didn't throw any of those in his past fight. I'm like, cool, this is vintage Conor McGregor. He does a spinning kick to the body. That lands. Vintage Conor McGregor. You're dictating space and range. This is what you need to do. Then, after the first minute, the next 25 seconds is all Dustin Poirier. Poirier finds a way to close that range, get in close. hits McGregor twice. McGregor hits him with a left. Cool. They circle. A minute and 20 into the fight, Dustin Poirier hits him with a three-piece. It's jab, hook, uppercut. Land as clean as you can on anyone. Conor McGregor. People like, Conor was rocked. He shot for a takedown. He didn't shoot. Conor McGregor, unfortunately, didn't circle the cage and gain distance like maybe an old Conor McGregor would do or a striking fighter would do. The boxing training and habits he has picked up went into motion, and he tried to boxing clinch. He put his head in Poirier's chest and tried to boxing clinch him. He didn't try to take him down to the ground. He tried to clinch. I'm like, Conor, the ref's not going to break you up and give you space. What are you trying to do? Dustin Poirier then walks his ass back to the edge of the octagon. Conor's back is on the octagon. I'm like, here we go. World of trouble. This is what took, you know, Conor out in their last matchup. No space. Poirier again has Conor's back against the cage. Poirier lets loose. This time, Poirier goes for a takedown like he did first round of the last fight. Conor grabs his neck clean, decides, I'm ending this shit right now. Guillotine time. Gets Poirier on the ground. Listen, for 10 seconds, 5-10 seconds, Poirier said so as much in the post-fight interview backstage with Megan O'Leary. That shit was deep for 10 seconds. By the way, Poirier's better on the ground. He doesn't panic. He does almost a headstand. Legs and feet go up onto the cage. He uses that to pop his head out. And now with 2 minutes and 30 seconds left, his head is out. He's in top position. Time to get to work. Conor lands a couple of good elbows to the side of the head, back of the head. Dustin starts like, no, fuck this. You ain't hit me. Ground and pound. Elbows raining down on Conor. Buddies his lip. We see what you're supposed to do in top control. Dustin Poirier raining down on Conor. But still, Conor, like he showed against Khabib, like he showed against Chad Mendez before then, decent enough defense. Poirier was hitting him. Conor wasn't expending energy trying to move his hips, get out of there. He's just trying to survive. He's doing pretty well, covering up when he has to, being offensive when he has to. Not much energy being expended. That takes us to the last 10 seconds of the round, where Conor's like, okay, cool, I can get up. He, you know, gets Dustin off of him, which is impressive in that spot. Gets off of him, they get back to their feet. Both men look relatively fresh still. Dustin was pounding on Conor. He has great cardio. Conor wasn't giving a ton of energy because he really gets tired out when he throw punches. Khabib had him on the ground for the first two rounds of their fight. He won the third round. Like, he's fine with that. He reserves energy in that place. So they break. They both throw haymakers. Two right hands. Either of them connects. It's a wrap for the other one. They both miss. Barely both miss. Then they both step back. Poirier steps back to regroup. Cool. Conor steps back to regroup. His leg buckles. Ankle gets caught the wrong way. Bone snap. Tibia and fibula. He crumbles to the ground. It's a wrap. Fight over. At the end of the first, Conor cannot continue. He broke his leg, not his ankle, but it's right above his ankle, tibia and fibula. Dustin Poirier wins by TKO, technically, but it's a doctor stoppage. And that is how it played out. Dre, I will tell you off rip before you take it from here. I know we disagree. Granted, I'm not saying Conor deserves an immediate rematch, but we disagree in the point of Conor wasn't getting dominated for normal Conor fights. I've seen him in that position. I like Conor in that position more than I like Conor throwing a million punches and not knocking someone out. So I thought the second round had plenty to go. It could have went either way. The fight was just starting. Dustin won a round. People win rounds. So I didn't think Conor McGregor was in the world to hurt. And yeah, I think the broken leg did decide the fight more than it was an omen that Conor was just going to get boat raced for the rest of the fight.
I vehemently disagree. Conor didn't do shit in that first round.
No, yes. That's
Conor didn't do shit in that first round.
I'll tell you why. To show you different.
You can show me the 20 Gettys all you want, but Conor came out throwing two roundhouse kicks that barely landed. He threw a few leg kicks that Poirier checked that didn't do nothing with him. Poirier threw a leg kick, froze Conor, landed a right hand. They threw a little bit. When Poirier got him on the ground, that Conor wasn't going to get that guillotine. Come on. That was out of straight desperation.
It wasn't desperation, but it was Connor thinks what we think, right? I got to win in the first seven. And he thought that was his shot to win in the first seven.
Bullshit. He panicked. That's what happened.
I think he panicked.
He did not think
the opportunity.
Come on. Conor McGregor has one submission in his career, and it's a rear naked choke. Do you think he really thought he was going to get a guillotine on Dustin Poirier?
Yes. Yes. I think in the moment, he thought, I got him. And I'm going to sub him. And oh my God, okay. I'm going to shock the world. I think his confidence and his hubris is that high.
Well, then he's stupid. Because from that point, Poirier got out, didn't have much of a problem, and completely dominated him on the ground.
Yep.
He hardly missed any elbows and punches.
Yeah.
And to say Conor was not tired is ridiculous. And the only reason that Conor got up, watch the fight again. Conor puts his fingers in Dustin's glove and is pulling him into those up kicks.
Yep.
That's the only reason that Dustin let him up. Yep. Otherwise, Conor would have still been on the canvas. It was a 10-9 round. Some people say it was a 10-8 round.
No, it was
10. I don't think it was a 10-8.
No.
But Conor didn't have much left. He was breathing hard.
He was not breathing hard.
He didn't have much left. Like, yes, he was. Come on, man. I watched the fight again.
Punch. Yeah, I watched it too.
He was tired. He was tired.
That was Conor versus Mendez. And we see how that went.
No, it was not Conor
versus Mendez. That was Conor Habib. Because Conor was on the ground two rounds of that, taking punishment. And won the third.
Please stop, Kel. Please.
Conor gets tired by throwing in volume. He could do that shit all day. He get beat on all day.
That's
on the ground.
True.
He gets beat on all day. He's fine. He got tired throwing a million punches in the third rounds against Habib. Had shit left in the fourth and quit when Habib barely choked him. In the first and second, dude, he showed decent ground defense. Got up and he wasn't tired at all.
He got absolutely owned on the ground by Poirier. The end Poirier of that fight was academic.
Poirier take him down?
Yes. Conor going for that guillotine was because he was going
took
down. Yes.
Down. Conor went for the guillotine.
Please stop.
It wasn't a dominant first round. A guy won.
He was going down.
He was not going down. He could have literally got an underhook instead of fucking guillotine because his arm is underneath already. Underhook. Move Poirier
he was
back
going to get
up,
taken down.
Circle, and then
Kel,
bounce from the cage.
Kel,
he was not getting
he down. Was going to get taken down. Do you think that Conor McGregor really wanted to go for that guillotine? Are you telling me that he thought his advantage was going for that guillotine?
Yes, I think he saw, yo, I'm going to tap him.
Okay. Okay.
Which is stupid. Right. This guy is a black belt. Right. But I think his
so you don't think Dustin was going to take him down regardless?
No, I think Conor could have got the underhook, moved him up, and they would have went chest to chest again. Then you're some Muay Thai shit. You got to get off the cage. But I think he had two options in that scenario. He chose port. Which not really, because Dustin said himself, it was deep. Dustin was like, fuck. Like, this asshole got me against the cage. And then he was like, no, the cage is right here. I'm good. So, but Conor does that and gets 3 more feet of separation away from the cage, Dustin's in trouble. But Dustin's too smart for that. Like, Dustin knew exactly where the fuck he was. As soon as he calmed down, he was like, oh, I got this shit. But that's something Conor should have thought about. But I think Conor went into auto. Conor in the first 7 minutes is a finisher. We've only seen him finish people with punches, but I think at that point, he was like, I'm going to finish. And it was dumb. Like, he just went for the finish. But that's Conor McGregor by nature.
By submission.
He'll go for the finish if he bites him a fucking toe. But he knows he's going to do it in the first 7 minutes. No one's giving him that chance. He knocks people out before they ever give him a chance.
And he's still, dude, Conor at lightweight and welterweight is not the same Conor as 145.
I agree.
And you've already seen that.
I agree.
Not to mention.
We can ask him. We can ask him. You want to ask him? Next time it's fight week, because you come back, you want to ask him, yo,
you're going to believe
that
him?
Guillotine. I mean, what
gonna
else do we have?
Whatever he says, you're going to believe him.
I mean,
you're
going to
believe him. You're going to believe. Come on, Kel. You're going to believe Conor McGregor.
When? And
is
this
going
is another
to tell
point.
The truth.
This is another point. People, and this is outside. Listen, if he was going to lose, he's going to lose. I don't give a fuck. But I think there was just more to play out because I see Chen Mendez rain down and cut him and split him. It was a long time
Chad
ago.
Mendez,
okay.
No, stop,
but
stop.
I saw Habib do the same thing. I saw Habib do the same thing to him for two rounds. He beat Habib in the third. So I get you, but I wanted to see it play out. It wasn't, he didn't get tapped. He didn't get stopped. Dustin won a round.
This is why Conor got bailed the fuck out. Conor was not winning this fight.
Regardless,
I know you say, you know,
he won a round.
I know. And this is why I said this is the best thing that happened to Conor. This is why I wrote a column that said the best thing that happened to Conor is an injury. Because if he would have lost, it would have been embarrassing.
Oh, it's curtains.
And now that
it's Jake Paul.
Now he has an injury and lost that fight. People like yourself could say, well, we don't know what's going to happen. So now there's a fourth fight. Okay.
So now there's a fourth fight. And I'm not saying he deserves a fourth immediately just off.
I'm just saying, because people are going to say he didn't technically lose by knockout. Who knows what happened in the second round? Who knows what would have happened?
But is that wrong?
He was saved by an injury.
Like, is that statement fundamentally wrong?
You can say it. It's fine. You can say it. I just disagree that much would have changed.
That's fair.
He would have went down again.
That way, but no one knows.
Okay. Yes. Anything can happen in MMA, right?
Yep.
But let's be real here. There wasn't a moment where Conor had Dustin in any kind of trouble. Not a single second in that first round.
That went to the ground way earlier than I thought. To be honest, it went to the ground way earlier than I thought. I thought Conor taking it to the ground was a mistake. I thought he could see the finish, but come on, that's not your game. You split, and while you got the energy, you throw hands.
Here's the other problem with Conor. He opens a fight the same way every time. He's either throwing a hard left hand or he's throwing a roundhouse kick. He spends a lot of energy in the first 30 seconds of the fight. Every fight he does is shit.
Those roundhouse kicks are not easy.
No, they're not easy. And then they don't necessarily do anything. Mm-hmm. And now he's throwing leg kicks and Dustin's like, you're really going to throw some leg kicks? The first leg kick that Dustin threw froze Conor. Froze him. Froze him in his tracks. You know why? Because Conor doesn't know how to check a leg kick. When he tried to check a leg kick, it didn't work.
Okay.
He doesn't know how to properly check a leg kick.
I would say when I watched it, he checked that one, but he can't do shit else while checking it. So I agree 100%. He focused so much on checking it, his entire body froze.
Yeah, he followed it
with a fucking flurry of punches that rocked his whole shit. He can't walk and chew gum. If he's going to check leg kicks, he can't do shit else, if that makes sense.
It's not Conor's game. It's not Conor's game. Poirier's a little bit too well-rounded for this shit.
Yeah.
Conor's not the powerhouse that he was at 45 and 55. He was bailed out by an injury, and now he's going to be able to say, I didn't lose to Dustin because I was injured.
Yeah.
And he's going to take a year off because this injury is going to take a while to heal. And he has two options.
There's no ligament damage. Six months, 8 months.
Yeah, but he won't fight for probably a year. He's got to go back to the lab.
No, he'll fight again.
He has to go back
next January or February.
No.
Yep.
No way.
Broken bones.
It's July, Kel.
6 weeks, you're good. Yep. January, February, he'll fight again.
July.
I will say that's it now. January. We'll see how it plays off. But 6 months, he'll be back. 6-7 months.
You want to make a bet? You want to make a bet right now? Because you're saying 6 months it takes to heal. The man has to train, Kel.
The man, he'll be back in the octagon in 6-7 months. I don't know the time frame of Dustin challenging for the title and then, you know, getting ready for another fight.
He won't be ready to fight in 6 months. He has to train. The bone has to heal before you train.
I understand.
And then you have to train for a fight.
I get you. 6 weeks? This motherfucker would be running sprints at 100%. I understand bone and ligament damage are very different. I will let you know that. And that's it.
Okay.
So Weidman is driving and training for a reason. When you don't have ligament damage, no matter how bad that it looks, you can get back in very quick. Now, are you 100%? Are you going to be amazing? All this stuff. That's a whole different conversation. But bone breaks. In sports, they're like, oh, you broke your bone? Thank God. Any ligament's done. Because bone breaks are way better than ligament damage. That is what I'm telling you.
Yes, clean breaks, are better.
Yes, 9 months, 10 months now for ligament damage in an ACL. Breaking a bone is 6 weeks. Then you can start getting back in, putting pressure, getting out of your cast, which then that's a month and a half. So then you get 5 months, 6 months on top of that to train and get back to yourself. That's 7 months.
Okay. If you say so.
February, March, he'll be back in.
January, not February, March.
No, I mean, January could be, but I mean,
it's too soon.
Again, the Poirier timeline is what fucks it up. You know, like, I don't think he should get an immediate rematch.
Not really. But he won't.
He will. Dana White, I believe, is very adamant that Poirier will go for the title. Whatever happens there, Conor will fight Poirier next. If Poirier is the champion, then Conor is fighting for a belt. If Poirier is not, then
I see. No. I absolutely, positively, that won't happen.
Okay.
That won't happen. A man coming off of two losses is going to. You think Conor, without winning a fight, when Conor McGregor is sitting right there,
Conor McGregor will fight for the title when he comes back. If Dustin Poirier is the champion,
if Dustin's a champion, you think he's going to? You think? You think Dustin's going to agree for that?
Yes, because Dustin will never get another payday. That payday is different. Dustin will fight him tomorrow. He's not stupid. It's a guy he can easily beat
for
a lot of money. What is he going to fight Justin Gaethje for a mil and a half or fight Conor for nine? After you beat this guy twice in a row fairly easily, yes, he will take it again. Come on, Dre. You know this. Come on.
It won't be. Listen, it won't. Conor McGregor will not get an immediate rematch upon his return with Dustin Poirier, unless Poirier is not champion. That's the only way that fight happens. Because Conor's going to need to win a fight. If Justin Gaethje fights between now and then and wins, you don't think that Justin Gaethje will get the first crack at that title?
Nope.
You're nuts.
Nope.
Conor McGregor has a losing record at welterweight and lightweight. Nope. And I know that people say, oh, okay.
There's a lot of pay-per-views that say differently. Purchase it.
You know who Conor will fight? You know who Conor will fight?
He should fight Nate. He should. I would agree. He should fight Nate, get a win if he can. Because that's not a given win at this stage of Conor. If he can.
But it won't fight Nate. Won't immediately, but it doesn't for you.
No,
and here's the other reason why I want him. Here's the other reason why
I put him in against RDA.
Yes,
before Nate.
Here's why. But I'm telling you, here is why it won't happen. First, because Dustin Poirier's timeline to fight Charles Oliveira probably won't be to the end of the year.
Yeah.
If Dustin Poirier were to beat Charles Oliveira in like December, that means Dustin's not coming back again till the summer.
No.
If Conor wants to fight, yes. Because Dustin's already talked about wanting to take some time off.
Yeah, okay, but money talks.
You think he wants to do another one?
We're on Conor's
schedule. No, do you think he wants to do it?
Yep.
No, you're not.
We are on Conor's schedule.
No, you're not.
Did you just start covering the sport yesterday?
Stop it.
Right.
Conor McGregor.
You're giving Dana a lot of credit for following rankings, for following what the smart decision is. For giving someone a title shot when they deserve it. For giving guys time off.
You
know what? Then Conor will fight for an interim belt.
Kel, stop it.
All right.
Stop it.
Okay.
If
he gave
you can only do so much
the Black Beast an interim belt to fight in Houston. When Ngannou asked for a month, he's not gonna give Conor a title. Come on.
Okay, if you're gonna talk about interim title, that's not fighting Poirier. This Again, is the only point I'm making.
But I think Poirier is not going to pass up on 9 mil. Like, I don't think so. I think he'll fight
the day after he fights line up.
Oliveira.
The fight with McGregor is always going to be there. Just like the Nate Diaz fight is always there for Conor.
Okay.
If Poirier's the champion and beats Charles Oliveira at the end of the year, if that fight happens at the end of the year, Charles will probably be ready to fight. Dustin just did a quick turnaround. I don't think he wants to immediately go into a title fight because Charles Oliveira is a completely different fighter than Conor McGregor.
Fair.
Poirier's going to want to take his
That'll happen November, December.
End of the year,
yep.
More than likely. end of the year. It's July right now. Charles Oliveira beat Michael Chandler. It was at April, March. That's the timeline they want to fight. They would like to fight December, January. Conor McGregor is not going to get one if he's ready to fight in January. Obviously, that means he's not fighting Dustin Poirier or Charles Oliveira. Conor's going to have to fight RDA. Also, Conor McGregor is probably going to be ranked 6 tomorrow.
Okay.
And I know you say, oh, well, Dana White, the rankings don't matter. But here's the other thing.
Dana gave the quote yesterday. I'm not making this up. So I'm not speaking out my ass.
He said that. And then afterward, he also said, I don't know. We have to see. Because just because you think, yes, he's going to get a fourth fight with Dustin, but it's always there. If Dustin were to lose to Oliveira, yeah, you make that fourth fight. If Dustin beats Oliveira and is a champion now, Conor's going to have to fight somebody like RDA. Here's why.
So Dustin can fight who?
Conor fights.
No, okay, that's cool.
He'll defend the title against Gaethje.
No, because you're not then losing money on a title fight. This is a company.
The timeline, Kel,
Then they will have Conor wait.
Stop it.
Because this is a company that cares about titles.
You think Conor wants to wait?
Conor will do it.
You think Conor wants to
wait? No, I'm telling you, Dustin will fight whenever Conor wants to fight. And if he has the belt, then that is a title fight.
Do you really think, first and foremost, how much more do you think Dustin Poirier made from fighting Conor McGregor? You know the UFC. How much more money do you think Dustin Poirier really got?
6 times. What's exponentially make against anyone else?
Oh, so he's like, what, $1 million?
No, I think he would make $1 million against anyone else, plus pay-per-view points, which the pay-per-view is not going to sell that fucking much. Yeah, but I mean, going forward, the pay-per-view is not going to sell that much without Conor on the card. Like, Poirier's still not a household name. No one's buying Poirier like that. He's not even Master, though, like where you became a star, like off of some shit, or Nate, where you become a star off of fighting Conor. No, so he's not going to sell crazy amounts. So maybe he makes 1.3. Let's say that. Against Conor?
That's not 6 times.
With pay-per-view points? Because this time he's coming in with the record, all this stuff. Not the first fight. Not the second fight. But off of this third one, yeah, he made a good 5-6 mil.
Maybe you think 7. He made 5 or 6 million?
Yep.
You think Dustin Poirier just made $7 million?
Correct. Because Conor made like 40, 50. Yep. I think this was an 85-15 deal. Which then puts you at 5 or 6 mil.
There's no such thing as 85-15 deals in the UFC.
Yes, I understand.
There's no split.
No, because you don't know what there's the fuck no split.
You know, Conor,
he's going to make whatever.
And
you know,
Conor ain't making it.
Yeah, but
Conor's not splitting pay per view.
No, but I think when you beat Conor, just like Nate, I think they will overpay you to get that trilogy. And I believe, yes, they overpaid him because that's the fight. Again, Conor says, "I want this fight." You go and you make that fight. So, yeah, I believe he got 6, maybe 6.5
Dude,
from this.
Bottom line.
So
Dustin Poirier.
There's a reason he didn't fight for the belt. There's a reason he didn't fight for the belt against Oliveira.
Yes, because he wanted to settle. He wanted
no,
to settle.
No, because he wanted. He knew I could beat this guy and the money is
yes,
here. Why
and,
are we fucking
and
noble?
He did it.
This is a prize fighting sport. He's not, listen, Poirier's a great guy, but he's not above wanting to make money. He's not fucking the Pope.
Oh my God.
This man said, I want to fight Conor because he knew it was a payday because it was 5-6 yes. times more than he's fighting against anyone else.
And he got the payday. And you know what Poirier said after the thing? I want to see Conor win a fight.
Poirier said, we're going to fight.
You want to know why?
But you
know
think why he holds the cards?
No. Do you want to know why he wants to see Conor win a
why?
Fight? Because now he does hold the cards.
He doesn't hold shit.
Okay.
Nothing. Okay. He holds nothing over Conor McGregor.
Okay. Why did Conor fight Cowboy and not somebody ranked?
Because Conor needed to get back in the rhythm and he wanted a confidence boost. Conor held the cards of who he's fought.
Okay.
Conor can fight whoever he wants. Dustin can feel however he wants. Dustin doesn't hold shit over Conor McGregor.
Okay.
Zero.
All right.
So you could beat him a million. Dustin could beat him 5 times in a row.
Okay. If that's what you think is about to happen,
You think I think Dana's going to give Connor whatever he wants, as he should.
I don't.
Within reason.
No, he shouldn't. Why should he?
Within
reason. Why should he?
Because if you're giving fighters what they want and what they ask for, you're giving it to Conor McGregor and not Dustin Poirier. Dustin, shut up and take whatever money I give you. Go make that's hot what you sauce.
Think is, you're wild.
Yeah.
You think that's... Oh my
God, I think Dana cares about
all right.
three or four athletes every 10 years. Conor is one. Poirier don't move the needle like that. Okay. That's, Dana's like, yo, you fight the fuck I would tell you to fight for.
That doesn't matter. Connor can fight anybody.
Connor fights whoever he wants to fight.
Okay.
And that's it. If they really? Want Connor to fight somebody, Dana flies
He fights whoever he wants to fight. You think Connor
Dana charters a plane, goes out there. He said, Connor, please.
So what happened when Connor?
Wait, here's why you should fight Cowboy Cerrone and not a tough fight coming
wait,
back.
Wait,
Connor,
hold on,
here's
hold
my
on,
offer
hold on.
To you.
If Connor gets if Connor fights who he wants to fight, why didn't he get a rematch with Khabib?
Instead of Cerrone?
Yep.
I don't know why he took time off. Why did he take time off after the Khabib fight?
Because he couldn't get the fight. That's why.
Khabib's a man of principle.
No, it doesn't matter. Man of principle, who gives a shit? If Connor holds all the cards, he can fight whoever you want. You know what Connor kept saying he wanted to fight? Khabib Nurmagomedov. Did that fight happen again? No.
I got to check Khabib's retirement date. Because I believe if Khabib doesn't retire, Dana tries to talk Khabib into it. But I don't know if Khabib goes for it.
Wait. When did Khabib retire?
He retired last November.
Would it be Justin Gaethje?
Yes. And then Poirier fight came about in February. I think Conor was still... When Khabib won, Conor was like, I want that fight. And I think Dana was thinking about it. Fuck Poirier, fuck whoever.
No,
but
listen.
Because Poirier.
No, listen, Kel. Listen. Yeah. Connor beat Cerrone.
Correct.
Connor wanted to fight Khabib.
Yes.
Khabib was supposed to fight Ferguson.
Yep.
That fight fell through.
Yep.
Gaethje beat Ferguson.
Yep.
If Conor McGregor gets whatever he wants,
why didn't he get the rematch instead of
No. Why didn't he get Khabib? That's the fight that he wanted.
He should have been fighting Khabib in November is what you're saying.
I'm saying Conor wanted to fight and Dana told him no.
Yeah, instead of Gaethje. Yeah. Khabib's a motherfucker. Khabib ain't...
But I'm just saying.
I mean, that's true.
My point is, Conor doesn't necessarily get everything he wants.
No, but I don't know if...
That's the only fight...
That's weird. We're comparing apples and oranges.
No, I'm just telling you because prior to this, yes, Khabib
would have told Dana go fuck himself.
Listen. What was the biggest UFC pay-per-view of all time?
McGregor Aldo?
Khabib and Conor McGregor.
Oh,
No. Khabib and Conor.
Yeah.
So if you're saying money talks and Dana only cares about money and the biggest fight that can be made is Conor and Khabib and Conor demands that fight and they go to Gaethje? Because they listen to Conor, right?
Yeah, I mean,
because Conor's the one who made this.
Unless Khabib was like, "Fuck you, I'll retire right now." Like, I mean, Khabib's crazy. I get you. If Khabib outright refuses, which I mean, he's a man of precedent. Dana White tried to talk about a retirement 18 fucking times, and the man's like, "Yo, I'm retired." Then, if he's like, "I'm not fighting Conor," then he's not fighting Conor. Tell him to go home.
But is there so much of Khabib saying, no, I'm not going to fight him? Or he said, you know, I just want him to win a fight.
Also pause. But he won against Cerrone. But Khabib was like, no, that doesn't count because it's not at 155.
Who gives a shit? Nobody gives a shit.
Okay, but Khabib was like, I want to see him win a fight. He went and won a fight. And then Khabib was like, no, that's still not good enough. So Khabib didn't care. Khabib was like, no, I'm not giving this clown money.
You're fighting a blown up
Canelo. Yeah, it's very Canelo-ish where Canelo's like, I don't give a fuck what Triple G does. No, I'm not giving him a fight. Like that's the case.
You look at the bad blood that we just had with
Poirier. Just said he'll fight him again.
Yes, he's
so now,
going.
But
he also said
in
that same. He also said in that same press conference, Conor. If I'm champion, Conor needs to win a fight.
Yeah, I don't think he holds those cards, sir. We'll see.
I think he does.
I do not
because the thing is, Conor needs to win a fight.
Cool.
No, cool. I'm telling you that Conor needs to win.
Conor will fight Nate and cash out. Sure. If Dustin,
there you go.
If Dustin gives up the 9 mil, which I don't think he will, let's say 8 or 9 mil for another fucking fight, because this will probably be bigger. If he wants to walk away from that, which I don't think he will, as champion,
how are you God walking bless. Away from it? It's still there.
No, it's how not. How are you still walking away from it? When it's still again, there. Why it could is be it? A wrap.
It's not going to be a wrap.
Okay.
It's Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor just got knocked. Dude, he's 3-4.
Then you think you're not always going to be champion. Like, so at this point, then he's what? Never going to work his way into fighting a champion. And then you're a wrap anyway.
Who?
Conor. Who? If Conor loses to Nate,
what I'm saying is,
instead of taking a Poirier fight, you say Conor got to get a win. If you're a Poirier, Conor got to get a win. He fights Nate. He loses.
He does.
Then you're never making that money. It's not there again. Because you set the precedent that he has to win to fight you. Cool. Sure. If RDA washes him, then you set the precedent that he has to win to fight you. You're never getting the 10 mil. For what?
Do you know how much... Do you think that Dustin?
These guys aren't
do you think
stupid.
That Dustin is a part of? No. Do you think there's a part of Dustin Poirier right now that wants to torture Conor McGregor?
Sure, but I think there's a part of Dustin Poirier that knows this sport doesn't pay shit, and I'm gonna get this money.
But he already, he got a lot of money.
You can always make more. Conor got a lot of money. You can always make more.
That's fine.
Mayweather got a lot of money.
Conor's a
man. Got a lot of money. He got 20 mil career earnings.
Listen. Conor McGregor is all about money.
Everyone Dustin in the Poirier is all about money. He is
no,
not a
they're
saint.
Not.
He is
no,
not a saint.
No, they're not.
Dre, he is not a saint.
What do you mean a saint? That doesn't
when
that
you
doesn't
put a contract in front of this man and you say you can fight Conor for X amount or you can fight Justin Gaethje again for a quarter, a fifth of the price, he's not stupid.
Do you think Dana White's putting that contract? Dog, do you think Dana White is going to say, Conor, you should get a title shot?
Yes. Conor's going to...
Okay.
Dana White will let Conor fight him if fucking Poirier has 3 belts on his waist.
I ask you again, if that was the case, why didn't Conor fight Ferguson or Gaethje? Why didn't Conor fight... No. Why didn't Conor fight Ferguson or Gaethje and force the hand to say... No, it was a title eliminator, was it not?
Yeah, but
was it an interim title fight? Was it not? Wasn't that the number one contender fight?
Oh, yeah. That was called out Gaethje and they gave him Poirier.
Wait. Why didn't, if that's the money fight, because he's fighting for money, why didn't Conor get that fight?
They offered Conor, like you're talking about not this fight, but the fight before.
I'm saying Tony Ferguson, Justin Gaethje fought like. I'm talking about the Tony Ferguson, Justin Gaethje fight. After Conor beat Cerrone, he said he wanted Habib. If he wanted the fight so bad, because they didn't give him Habib, Habib said, you got to win a fight.
Habib was retired.
Why? Wait, no, he wasn't.
Oh, stop. No, you're he talking a year before, January before. I got you. Continue.
Yes, last January, yep. Conor beat Donald.
Yep.
In the spring, late, early summer, the first fight on Fight Island,
yep.
Justin Gaethje and Tony Ferguson fought.
Yep. I will tell you. And that is because this is before Fight Island bullshit, blah, blah, blah. That is because they wanted Conor to step in late notice against Gaethje in April before the UFC shuts it down, or March. He said, I'm not doing a late notice fight, but I'll fight this guy. No problem. And then you hit the Rona. And they were like, we can't pay you without fame. We don't have that infrastructure. We can't do it. And they shelved Conor, but then they figured out later in the year with Fight Island, Abu Dhabi, and Poirier was the only one without a fight. So they booked him against Poirier that, okay, we can make this work with Abu Dhabi money to let Conor fight. But there wasn't means to pay Conor what he needed once shit hit the road. Kale, and you cannot say that's not true. Conor wanted four fights last year.
Where did Gaethje and Ferguson fight? Where did Kel?
You don't gotta pay them the same.
Where did Gaethje and Ferguson fight?
They fought Fight Island. You do not have to pay them the same.
Okay. Thanks.
You shelved Conor because you have to
get
money for him.
Stop.
Dre, they had.
Stop. Where does the money come from? Where does the money come from for Conor McGregor?
The money comes from not all pay per view. Are you kidding me?
How much? Okay.
Ticket sales go a lot into that. Sponsorships go a lot into that. They
so how many Connor people were there? Wait, stop.
In Abu Dhabi, Drake, did Connor have fans against Poirier in Abu Dhabi when they fought?
How many fans
in the Middle East did they have fans?
How many fans?
That is a sight fee, Dre. That wasn't Roman Fight Island. You're telling me he fought in the same venue? Did he fight in the same venue? Because you're losing this. Did he fight in the same venue? Or did he have fans unlike they had when Ferguson and Gaethje fought? Because they fought in front of nobody.
Where they fight?
They fought in the same location, in the same general area in Abu Dhabi. But one had fans and one didn't. Is that true?
Okay.
Did one have fans and one didn't? Has Connor ever fought in an empty arena, Dre? You answer me that? Yes, because you get a sight fee. You get people paying. You get fucking princes paying to watch Conor McGregor. No one was in attendance when the other two fought.
So when did Conor fight? When did Conor fight?
Did he have fans?
Hey, hold on. When did Conor fight Dustin Poirier?
February. Did he have fans?
Hold on.
That's all I'm asking.
Hold on. Where did Khabib fight Justin Gaethje? Okay. Did they pay
Conor money? They didn't pay him 40 mil.
I'm asking you a question.
Did they pay
Khabib?
They paid him. Do you think they paid him Conor money?
Okay, thank you.
Everyone doesn't get paid.
You think they couldn't pay Conor? Hold on.
Yo, that's a clown argument, bro.
Do you think they couldn't have paid Conor to fight Khabib?
No, because you need fans. You need sight fee. You need something.
So they don't have the money. So you're telling me that?
No, they weren't spending that money. I don't know their books, but they shelved him. He wanted to fight four times last year. The fucking Rona hit, and they shelved him. Come on, you don't want to. You can't want to be right that you don't know reason.
So then he didn't want to fight.
He's not going to fight for less than he's worth. What?
Come on, I'm asking you a question.
Now we're in the dumb realm. No, because he's not going to fight for less than he's worth. It's prize fighting, man. Now we're in the dumb realm. Yeah, so Floyd should fight for fucking 10 mil because it's the Rona. No, he's going to wait until after the Rona. Like, come on. Now you're at the point where you just want to be right. Where you're just
I'm already right. Now, I ain't got to worry just, about being right.
No, now you're just throwing out whatever to be right.
All I'm telling you is
why he didn't fight. Because it was the Rona, they couldn't pay him enough. He went out when they could pay him what he wanted to be paid. He was in a fucking yacht on the side of the stadium, not staying in a hotel. He wasn't quarantined. He was in a yacht walking into the stadium every day, a stadium that wasn't had fans, and that was a brand new stadium that they allowed fans in for the first time in like a year. He never fought in an empty arena with media, and that's it.
So he didn't get the Khabib fight, right?
Bro, he's not fighting for less than he's worth. That's
I just asked you a question.
Ridiculous.
He said what he wanted. He didn't.
They weren't paying him.
He didn't get what he wanted. That's
cool because he was in Rona and they couldn't pay him. Cool. So you went by a technicality. He didn't get what he wanted. What? Come on, man. That's your weakest argument. We've had a show for 6 years. That's your weakest argument yet. And that's just honest. Like, that shit's paper thin. Like, come on. You want him to fight for less?
Okay.
It's Conor McGregor.
You really think he's going to get less? You think if he's going to fight Khabib, he's going to get less?
No, because they couldn't match what he wanted.
Okay.
So they shelved him. That happened to many fighters.
Okay.
Listen, without going into depth, because I can't fucking talk about shit in my job, but there's a reason why Tyson Fury couldn't fight during the fucking Rona. There's a reason why Anthony Joshua couldn't fight until fans come back. Like, come on. We know this shit.
Conor's not getting what he wants because he says it.
That was paper thin. All right. So, now that we're working backwards. Well, with the fight in general, we've got off topic. The fight in general, Conor loses, leg breaks. We both talk about what should be next. Poirier is going on to get a title shot. We agree, correct?
Yes,
we Poirier's getting the title shot. Cool. Whatever happens after that, it's still up in the air. The divisional vision will figure itself out. The injury allows Conor McGregor 2 or 3 more UFC fights. How much time do you think this bought him? Because I think it might have been a wrap if he gets knocked out yesterday.
I don't think so. I think if he would have lost, he still would have fought Nate Diaz.
Okay. I'll give you that. Jake is so tempting, though, no?
Jake was in but you have to deal with...
He has the stupid fucking
chain. Here's the problem. But here's the problem. Dana doesn't want to do business with Jake.
Oh, damn. He doesn't. But Showtime... Jake signing with Showtime, the same people that did business with Dana with Floyd, right? I think
well, you know that's not really Espinoza. It's more of a Heyman thing.
It was more of a Heyman thing. That is true. But, I mean, Dana partnered with Showtime on a pay per view event. How about that? So it's more familiarity than saying like, "Yo, go work with Triller." So I think that gave me more like, okay, Dana doesn't want to give Jake shit. Let's be real. Jake, and I saw your tweet right on point. Listen, the messenger ain't the right messenger, but the message is pretty fucking spot on with Jake calling him out about the practices and how they pay people. That's not going to help Dana want to do business with him. But
no, I think the
if you can have Conor win, because I think Dana thinks Conor knocks Jake the fuck out. So if you can have Conor win, get a little bit of money from Conor, Conor's profile heightens. The Nate fight is still there. I think Conor, Jake could have been on the platter. Conor comes back to UFC after that versus Nate. And if for any reason he beats Nate, then you can finagle around what the fuck his future is after that. So I think so Jake might have been next.
There's one thing that I completely disregarded when it came to Jake Paul versus Conor McGregor. There's a pretty significant weight disparity.
Yo, Conor is a lot smaller. But so was
that is a pretty
Floyd.
This is a pretty significant. I didn't think about it, and then I was like looking, and I was like, wait a second,
it's 30 pounds.
It's a pretty significant. It's a pretty significant. It's not like Floyd and Logan, because Logan, you know, Logan Jake can actually fight.
Yeah.
So you do that if you. This is a pretty significant. There's a lot of issues.
That's not easy.
I'm not saying the fight can't get made. Not saying the fight can't get made.
Yeah.
But when it comes to like weight and all that shit, I was like, yo. This is actually
Conor couldn't
difficult
cut
to make in that regard.
Like,
no, he has to
you
come
have
in
to
fat.
Train, yeah, you have to come in fat because your training is going to take theoretically weight off of you anyway, right? Like your body will go into autopilot, and you can't have that happen. So that's that's a whole different game. Like, can
Conor's
frame
I
is different,
just
but what does
it.
He walk like 183 at the most? You can walk to 183.
Yeah, maybe.
Jake.
You know, he's a solid dude. Jake is like 200 pounds.
Easy. Jake cuts if he has to. Last one, I think, was at Cruiser. That's tough. I don't know. So, I don't know how the dynamics would work. Because Floyd said, fuck it. I just want Logan to get to this point, and I'll weigh whatever.
Yeah, so, it doesn't matter. Like, it's Logan Paul. He's not a threat.
Yeah. But no, Jake, that's...
so.
That's tough because Jake trains boxing 24/7. He's a bigger man, taller, the longer man. Conor's punches won't travel the same at all.
They won't have any effect on Jake. Jake will beat the brakes off of Conor.
That might not be good. I don't know.
Like, so if we're looking at Conor's future, Conor has two fights that are big money fights: the Poirier fight, the RDA fight. Those fights are definitely big. Not RDA, I'm sorry, Nate Diaz. But now he also has the RDA fight too.
Yep.
If he wants to take that fight. Conor has options because he's Conor. He can fight a brick wall. People are going to come out.
Correct.
It doesn't matter. So he's going to take his time off. Don't know. That fight was supposed to happen years ago. And then Nate stepped in. The fight's always going to be there. So the thing is Conor has to heal up. The best thing he can do, the best thing is him being away, because the further he gets away from this fight and breaking his leg, and people can create their own narratives to say, oh, well, Conor's going to come back in the second round and win the fight. Cool. Now Conor comes back. He reinvents himself. What Conor has to do, more important than anything else, is rededicate himself to MMA. Like 100%.
Yeah.
Because
he did that a little bit this time, but the habits are hard to break, it looks like, you know.
The bad thing that Conor did was a quick turnaround to fight Dustin again. Yeah. Reason being is you don't learn how to check leg kicks in about 4 months.
Yeah.
You don't. You don't learn how to tighten your stance. Like, there's a lot of things. Like, yeah, you train for a 5-round fight. That's there, even though Conor's a front runner. But the technique, the stuff on the technique, he hasn't been trained. He's been, like, doing boxing, you know, preparing for a Pacquiao fight that didn't fucking happen. He needs to go back to the lab and really figure his abilities out and work within his weight class.
Yeah.
He can't fight like he's a 45er anymore because clearly it doesn't work.
He needs to just chill in the gym in Ireland. Like, just chill.
Like,
fight some of the young kids.
He's like, not.
Get that back.
He's still fighting like he's fighting guys like Chad Mendes and Jose Aldo. And if you really look at that, he's too big for 45. When he fought at 45, he had a significant reach and height advantage in all of his fights because he was the big 45er.
Yep.
But at 55, he's fighting a lot. Like, somebody like RDA is a guy who would come down from welterweight to fight you.
Yeah.
He fought Nate Diaz. He doesn't have those reach events. He doesn't have those things anymore. The power doesn't travel because these guys are bigger and they're cutting down.
Yep.
He's not cutting as much weight. So now you have to retool your entire strategy when it comes to fighting. Because now you got to recognize, oh, well, I'm not knocking people out anymore.
Yeah, you got to.
How do I win a 5-round fight?
Well, usually cardio and technique, but he seems to not have made that transition. He's the power pitcher who doesn't realize that they have to get a cutter or that their velocity went from 100 to 93 and you got to touch the corners now, right? You got to set up your pitch count. He doesn't realize that. He's still trying to be a power pitcher.
Like he's trying to be those middle late relief guys, the setup guys that you know, you go for an inning and you throw every pitch at 100 miles an hour.
Aroldis Chapman.
And
you see how this is working for my age. Yeah. It's just tears in my eyes.
You know, and some guys, you look guys like at Chris Sale, for instance. Chris Sale was a guy who came out of the bullpen, then he was a closer for the Sox, and then he was a starter. He learned how to put more pitches in his repertoire. He recognized, I can't throw 100 miles an hour. I can't throw 98 at with every pitch. Yep. And then I stretch myself out. Conor's not stretched out. Conor doesn't know how to go 5 rounds. And now he has to because he can't knock these guys out.
Exactly. And that's tough at the end, right? Like, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. And this is the perfect example.
Yeah. And the true question now is, how good is Conor McGregor?
At this weight, I don't know. Granted, he's a champion at this weight, a past champion. But it's tough. Who's to say? Another thing, I was doing a radio spot, and I was like, yo, it's weird, but it reminds me, and we make this comparison for a ton of people, but it reminds me of Roy Jones, right? When Roy went up in weight to get the heavyweight title and came back down, he was never the same. His body changed. The composition of his body changed. He lost some of that speed, right? He lost some of the twitchiness. He wasn't the same. When Conor said, yo, I'm coming in at 170 instead of 155 to fight Nate when RDA pulled out, Conor's body composition changed. If you watch, even when he cuts weight down to 155 again, watch how he looks. That long, lanky, his physique has changed after he went up to 170. He can't get that karate stance back if he tried. His muscle composition is different after that fight. The people, remember when he used to make fun of people like, oh, they're just muscle bound, blah, blah, blah. Like, they have nothing on me. The Mendes, the Aldo, he used to make fun of those people. And his body composition changed when he went to 170 and he turned into them.
Yeah.
So what he picked on. Because he went to 170 and he ate and he didn't train right for that one fight. You know, he just blew up. He was like, oh, whatever. And his body never recovered. And now he's stupid muscle bound for no reason. And he's not lanky anymore.
Yep.
And he doesn't have that range. and he doesn't have the fluidity. What happened to the touch butt, right? What happened to Yoga Connor getting down in the monkey stance? He can't even get down in the monkey stance to start a fight. He's tightened up. He's muscle bound. It's not the same guy we saw back then. And I think the move to 170 fights fucked him up.
He's got to figure it out.
He's
got to figure out so he
has to adapt. But if he tries to keep fighting like who he was, like Roy tried to keep fighting like who he was, you're never going to catch that again. It's similar.
It's a difference between guys who knock people out early and then learn how to go the distance. And the only thing, like the only problem with the Roy comparison is like Roy could go the distance and he was a guy who relied specifically on his athletic ability. Right. Yeah. But there's other fighters who had turned from knockout artists. Then you move up in weight. And then, you know, similar to like an Adrian Broner, Broner is knocking out guys because he was bigger than them. So, but then when he went up and fought Pauly Malignaggi, he recognized, oh, I can't get this guy out of here. And he almost lost that fight. Then he bit off more than he can chew. And this is where the comparison lies with Adrian Broner and Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
He bit off more than he can chew with Marcos Maidana, just like Conor bit off more than he can chew with Nate Diaz. Because most people thought, like we thought, Adrian Broner was going to run over Maidana and Conor was going to run over Nate Diaz.
Yeah.
These are two guys who are, at the time, glorified journeymen. Where more so with Marcos Maidana, he was thought of as a gatekeeper. He struggled against Amir Khan, came in this fight with Broner, looked like a stepping stone. And what Adrian Broner recognized really fast was that size matters. Conor recognized really fast that size matters. So the better question is not Conor, is he Roy Jones? Is he Adrian Broner?
It's also very possible. Like, but think you can never go back down. The body composition changed.
Can't go
back. Broner, when he went up. He
can't go back down.
The body composition changed. This motherfucker can't even cut to 140 anymore. Like, he hit 147. Yeah, like granted, he was a monster at 130, 135. He went up, made the jump to 147 and could never come back to even 140. So, Conor, yeah, I agree.
Right.
He did the same. Like, you're fucked up.
Let's take it a step further. Adrian Broner is, we always say, he's like the worst three-division champion of all time, right? Because what happened afterward is what everybody started pinpointing. Because it was like, oh, he won these titles. And, you know, people were putting him on pound-for-pound lists. People were saying how great he was. And then Adrian Broner made the mistake of getting fat, moving up, and not recognizing that you need to change his style. You can't pot shot anymore. You have to box, my friend.
Yep.
Because you're not going to win a 12-round fight. Go back to the Sean Porter fight. Adrian Broner couldn't pull the trigger. Because he's looking for the perfect shot. But those guys don't fall anymore. Remember, Conor? If I hit them, they will fall. Yep. They don't fall anymore. They eat your shots and they keep coming. And that's what Nate Diaz did. That's what Dustin Poirier did. And now there's nowhere for you to go because you moved up in weight with your arrogant ass and didn't recognize that you need to retool your strategy to go the distance. Conor hasn't done it. Adrian Broner didn't do it. Conor's a highly decorated champion, first man to hold two champions simultaneously in UFC history. But what is the memory really going to be? He was a great businessman. Adrian Broner still makes a ton of money to fight, but are they really that good?
We shall see. He has to rehab. We'll see what he has left. Let's hit our last break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the rest of the card. Even if boxing got to wait a little bit, maybe wait till next show, but we'll figure it out. Don't go anywhere. Talk more MMA after this.
Pele leaned in and said something to Freddie.
Don't let them change you. Keep working on what makes you different and what makes you special. It was great advice, but it caused me some problems.
But what could change Freddie Adu?
Soccer is going to explode and it's going to be around this kid.
We were the Beatles. Everywhere we went, it was the Freddie Show.
And with that came the expectation, and with that came the pressure.
New episodes of American Prodigy drop Tuesdays from Blue Wire Podcasts.
What's up, fight fans? The Notorious here. Just out of the surgery room, everything went to plan. Everything went perfect. I'm feeling tremendous. We got 6 weeks on a crutch now, and then we begin to build back. You know, I want to thank all the fans all around the world for your messages of support. I hope you all enjoyed the show. I want to thank all the fans in attendance at the T-Mobile Arena, 21,800 fans in attendance. The place was absolutely electric. It was a hell of a first round. It would have been nice to get into that second round and then, you know, to see what's what. But it is what it is. That's the nature of the business. A clean break of the tibia, and it was not to be. You know, Dustin, you can celebrate that illegitimate win all you want, but you've done nothing in there. That second round would have shown all. And, you know, onwards and upwards we go, team. We dust ourselves off, we build ourselves back, and we come back better than ever. Let's go, team.
That's Conor McGregor's message after surgery today. We are back talking MMA to wrap up the show. Man, Dre, what do you think?
Whatever. Like, whatever. Whatever, Conor.
Yeah, more humble today than after the fight, though, when Rogan stuck a mic in his face 2 minutes after breaking his leg.
I mean, look, man, Conor's... he took this promo to this fight way too far.
Yeah, I mean, he just said, like, he DM'd her. He didn't say anything fucking wild. Or he said she DM'd.
But it don't matter. Yeah, it's like, man, you dragging people's wives in this shit. And, you know, Dustin Poirier could have talked about D. Dustin Poirier could have talked about his rape case. Yeah. Dustin Poirier could have done all that, but he didn't. He took the high road. And Conor saying all those things. But Dustin said in the post-fight, you know, he's like, you know, I'm going to kill you. And Dustin took that really personally. And now Conor's, you know, I tell you, this is what he's going to do. He didn't lose the fight. It's an illegitimate win. All right. I mean, cool.
It'll build to what it builds to, right? He'll use it. We'll get another fight. Maybe he wanted to fight in Allegiant Stadium next. Maybe whenever him and Poirier fight, maybe it's in Allegiant Stadium, right? If they wait out the NFL season, if it's after that, then they could probably sell a fucking stadium, you know, Rona permitting. So we shall see.
You got to make sure the travel restrictions are off.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see how that plays out. We're going to talk the rest of the card to end the show then. We'll start from the bottom of the card up as normal. The biggest thing on the early prelims, Jessica Eye had a third eye. That cut was crazy.
Cyclops, baby.
Yeah. Wow. And she was smiling and laughing. Shout out to whoever was the cut man, because by the end of the fight, it wasn't bleeding at all. It was just a gaping hole on her forehead. That shit is crazy. And she almost won the fight.
Yeah, I mean, the fight was good. I mean, the right person won. Jennifer Maya won. But Jessica Eye with that cut, yeah, the third eye, the Cyclops. I was like, oh, we're in for a night. She, you know, I compared it to Stone Cold. The blood was streaming down her face. She was smiling. I was like, this girl's goofy. Like, what's wrong with you? But, you know, it's a good fight. Jessica Eye's, look, man, you don't really want to win these fights because you're only fighting to fight one person. That person's going to kill you. Yeah, so anybody wants to fight Bullet, go ahead and win. Like, that's how Bullet's looking at this shit. He's like, you want to win a fight? I'll fuck you up. So you lose. You got stitches in your head. Cool. Have a nice little social media moment. You don't really want to win that fight. Everybody says they want to shot at Bullet again. I don't think they really want to fight Bullet again.
Nah. She talk about dominant people. Conor Poirier, she's dumb. So yeah, no one wants that smoke. You talk about Giles getting KO'd by Duplessis, which people have coined him DDP. So I love that. Now, every time he gets a knockout, if he doesn't go bang, I'm going to be very disappointed. Very disappointed. So that.
Yeah, he's got to learn that.
Yeah, so that was cool. Ryan Hall gets knocked out by Topuria. And oh my God. Like, Ryan Hall is such a puzzle to solve, and Topuria had no problems with it. That was one hell of a fight.
Dude, I said it on Twitter. You ever play somebody in Street Fighter who just spams fireballs? And you're like, all right, man, it's enough fireballs, right? But some people can't figure it out. Either the early Street Fighter, like 2 Turbo, is either spamming fireballs or doing them fucking foot sweeps.
Yeah,
if you don't know how to stop it.
And block
it. Yeah, you don't know how to stop it, you're kind of screwed. But Ryan Hall was spamming that strange, because it was not like an Imanari roll. It was like a he was trying to do like a hip roll. It was really weird. And Tepora picked up on it really quick. And then Hall was like, he fights like he doesn't care, right? Hands down his side. And he's like looking for one thing. And nobody wanted to fight him. And I get it. But if anybody remembers McLovin that fought in the UFC, and then he fought Nate Marquardt because he was a jiu-jitsu guy. He didn't know what to do. And he just jumped up and threw a flying knee, and Nate knocked him in the next week. It's kind of what Ryan Hall is. He's like a jiu-jitsu guy, a great grappler. But if somebody could figure him out, somebody was like, Ryan Hall's getting cut. He's not getting cut. He's going to get another fight. It'll be on the prelims again. But the mystique of Ryan Hall is gone. He got knocked senseless.
Yeah, that was crazy. Michelle Pereira versus Nico Price. Amazing fight.
That was fun.
Fight of the night.
Motherfucker.
My opinion. Great.
He did a backflip.
Which is illegal.
Backflip.
That Twitter points it out. You cannot kick a downed opponent in the head. Backflip or no backflip.
Well, so here's the
foot stomped him while in the piece.
While I agree with that, here's the problem. The referee is not thinking about any of this. When Michelle does a backflip, he's not looking for a head stomp at this point. He's going, oh, shit, he's flipping through the air. He's not looking to see where his feet land because he lands on his head, yes, and then he falls into full mount. No referee on the face of the planet is prepared for that. So it's really hard to say, well, that was illegal. The referee has to call it. I was surprised. I didn't look at it till the replay, and I was like, oh, he stomped on his head. But nobody's paying attention to that. It's a fun fight, though. Nico Price comes to fight. We knew this was a banger. Should have been fight of the night, but it wasn't.
Yeah, and then Max Griffin versus Carlos Condit. I was shocked I went the distance, but Max Griffin, good technical win. Condit still has more in the tank, though. Yeah, he'll get another fight. He came Condit's on in the guy third round.
You know, I mean, you know, 38-year-old, he's not necessarily the natural-born killer anymore. He's kind of like the natural crippler. He's not a killer anymore. Like, so everything comes a little bit slower. You know, he's trying to move around and catch Max. Everything's not necessarily there anymore. I don't know who he could fight, but it's a good win for Max, but I don't know what to make of this. Carlos has been through a lot.
I mean, he's at welterweight. Give me Condit versus Cowboy.
Sure, actually, why not? That's actually a good fight. All right, I'll take it.
Matchmaking. somebody cut me a check. Then we have Sean O'Malley versus Chris Moitino. Yo.
My God.
I mean, Sean O'Malley's second most significant strikes ever in the bantamweight division in this fight. He was landing at an 86% clip. Moitino just is the toughest motherfucker I've ever seen. Still didn't go down. Herb Dean stops the fight with 30 seconds left. Just because, how many shots are you going to let the man take to the dome piece? But that being said, I think he could have lasted the last 30 seconds.
Okay, that's exactly how I felt. There was people like, oh, they stopped it. Good. And I was like, yeah, good, but they should have stopped the shit the last round because Moutinho wasn't doing anything but getting smoked.
Yep.
Here's one thing about Sean O'Malley. Sean O'Malley could be a boxer. He has no tails on what he's about to throw.
Yeah.
And he was smoking Moutinho with that jab and the right hand down the middle and his footwork. Now, defensively, he's, you know, I don't really know how far he'll get defensively. But Moutinho was like covering up. He's just wrapping punches around his gloves, throwing the right down the middle, you know, throwing the front kick to keep Moutinho back a little bit to create space. Sean O'Malley's a problem. The problem with Sean O'Malley
is a lot like Dominic Cruz. Stay healthy. Yeah, he's a lot like an early Dominic Cruz offensively.
But he throws a lot harder than Dominic Cruz. He throws hard. Moutinho's a really hard hit. And he does, that's the only thing he showed me. I was like, yo, Moutinho's tough as shit. At least he's going to get another fight in the UFC. You take that kind of a beating and still hang around, you're going to get another fight. O'Malley, if he stays healthy, can keep his legs from having any more issues, develop some takedown defense because it's going to happen. He's going to be a problem. He is the UFC's next big thing.
I agree.
He came out to Cuba with Tekashi. Like, oh, my God. He had a video before he walked out. Like
entrance of the night. No, they can't be better or worse as a star, right? Like, he's polarizing, amazing in the octagon. And talking about breaking something, he suffered the same injury Conor McGregor just suffered. Two fights ago, right? Lost the fight because of it. Seems to have, like, he took time to get right. He didn't jump right back in. If I look right now at the time off he took from that loss, he lost to Marlon Vera in August of 2020. He came back in March of 2021. So, yeah. Honestly, at the same time, if I say Conor comes back in January, February, it's the same amount of time from a break, to be fair. But he's not coming up against Dustin Poirier to return fight. But no, the kid is special. He showed a lot in this fight to just, I mean, he was gassed at some point. Like, and he's still throwing and just landing and showboating, dribbling. Shit was crazy. I mean, O'Malley came back to fight Thomas Almeida, so that wasn't a cakewalk. He made it look like one. But
no, not at all.
Yeah, he came back and was like, fuck it. Knocked out one of the most dangerous guys like 4 years ago. That's insane. So second fight, Aldana versus Kuniskaya. I got this one wrong. Aldana looked great. First round, TKO. And there's only one decision on the entire main card. Like, that's two decisions on the ESPN card and this combined. Out of 10 fights, it's pretty damn good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But Aldana, you know, she had to give up 30% because she was 3.5 pounds overweight. But she looked so good against Kuniskaya, and she was, you know, beat the brakes off of her. And Irene Aldana is, you know, she's trouble, you know. And she apologized for not making weight. She had to deal with menstrual cycles, what she told us. And, you know, women's bodies are just different. So
that's
it's forgivable.
It. Like, I completely forgive that. Like, shit, I don't understand it, but that sounds like a good enough reason to me. Like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, like, I can't. Like,
water weight being bloated, that's tough.
Like, if shit just falls on the wrong day and that's your weigh-in day, there might be problems. So, yeah, no, it sounds about right. I'm glad that the fight continued. And, yeah, no, she looked amazing. So, working her way up in that division. And then we have Tai Tuivasa versus Greg Hardy.
Damn, I'm so glad I got this wrong. Oh, I'm so happy.
Got his block knocked off by Tai Tuivasa. And it was crazy as Greg Hardy hurt him. Hit him with the punch first, kind of behind the ear. Yeah. Tai stumbles. Greg Hardy gets all excited, rushes in, and it's good night, Greg. He had no clue where he was. No sound came out, but his mouth let out this shriek of agony like he had never been hit like that before in his life. He had never been knocked out, and he wanted no parts of that. And Tai went for the follow-up blow, and he just fucking curled up like a child. That knockout punch, the one that knocked him down, oh, my God, just freeze frame it. If you go back and watch the fight, freeze frame Greg Hardy's face. Oh, that was all I wanted because he was just defenseless and curled up like a punk. Oh, he needed that.
Yeah, man. You know, you be a domestic abuser and, you know, you put hands on women. And then you get beat up by a chubby guy who drinks beer out of a shoe, who walks out to the Spice Girls wannabe. That's what you get. You
got
what he deserved. What? Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was incredible. I was so glad I was wrong. Yeah, I was so, dog, I tell you, I was so glad I was wrong about that because, you know, Greg's a douchebag and, you know, domestic abuser and he got his ass beat. And yeah. He got served. And at this point, if you're Dana White, it's like, you know, you're like a prelim fighter now. Like, I can't keep putting you on the main card. You can't win.
Nah, prelim fighter and then future PFL competitor. So, not even Bellator, future PFL competitor. And then last fight we're talking about, Gilbert Burns versus Wonderboy Thompson. I was dead wrong. Gilbert Burns, wrestling's a problem.
I was too.
Jiu-jitsu is a problem. You talked about Wonder Boy's takedown defense, which is amazing.
Didn't matter.
No, Gilbert's a whole different beast. Wonder Boy looked good when he could stay standing. It just didn't happen often enough at all. And even though, I mean, Wonder Boy got taken down at the end of the second, I gave the second to Wonder Boy. Every judge gave the second to Wonder Boy. So it was a toss-up going into the third. Gilbert Burns started off strong. Wonder Boy looked really good, but 2 minutes left, Gilbert was like, no, I'm taking her ass down and I'm winning this fight. And that was it. So great win for Gilbert Burns.
It's a hell of a win for Gilbert Burns. It's just tough because now what do you do with Gilbert? Because obviously they're going to go with Colby Covington versus Kamaru Usman too. If you're Gilbert Burns, you've already had a shot at Usman. You got knocked out.
You don't want my answer.
So Gilbert. I mean, I think it's Gilbert Burns, Leon Edwards, but I know Gilbert wants Masvidal.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Poor Leon. No, Leon should just wait. Masvidal is a good fight, Leon, but he's not a big enough fight. Gilbert's not a big enough fight for Masvidal at this point. Masvidal shouldn't take a fight against anyone that isn't Nate Diaz or Nick Diaz.
Yeah. Big facts. But alas, here we are. You know, it's a strange division right now. Kamaru Usman has been very dominant and not getting the credit he deserves. Sucks. But Leon Edwards Leon Edwards is in the Justin Gaethje position right now. Nobody's even talking about Justin Gaethje, which is weird. Nobody said a word about Justin Gaethje. And now Leon Edwards is in that spot where other people are getting picked over him. And he's just kind of hanging out. He should be fighting. Gilbert Burns, Leon Edwards should be the fight. But they got to figure out what they're going to do with Masvidal because he's still a moneymaker. So there's that.
No, completely agree. So, I mean, options going forward there for Gilbert Burns. Overall, good night of fights. Exciting weekend all around from start to finish. It was crazy. Thank you guys for listening to our show, our breakdown. I promise we'll get to boxing next time. We'll recap the Charlo bout. Plenty of stuff to talk about. We'll still make sure we get in JoJo Diaz when we do that on that show. We appreciate you guys for sticking out. You know, always entertaining. The back and forth between me and Dre, I'm sure we'll get some comments. People love those. So follow us on social media at @CornerPodcast_ on Twitter, at Corner Club for Life on Instagram. Follow me at Kel Dansby, him, Andres Hale on all platforms. Shout out to Blue Eye, the network. Shout out to all of the sponsors. You guys stay safe, stay Rona free. The shit is going crazy again. No variants for any of our listeners. We're gonna stay safe. Make sure we get through the summer. Have some fun. Until next time, though, we're out.
Peace.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.